The Bernstein and Holmes Show.
Well, we're going to Circa in Vegas.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
You've never seen a Fast and Furious movie.
You know what I'm talking about.
Have you seen
the trailers?
No. You gotta watch one.
No.
I wanna hear about this, homie.
I said forget about it, cuz.
The first one's an action.
I'm getting right home, I'm packing, I'm leaving.
The first one is good. I think you should watch one of them on the plane. Whichever one is available, I think you should watch it.
Watching a Fast and the Furious movie.
It's a perfect plane movie, especially for that flight.
You can't leave. You've gotta watch the whole thing.
Oh, I gotta work. We're doing the podcast tomorrow and I haven't done my stuff yet.
This is on the same flight with Dan. Is he Ray?
Yes, Ray is.
You gotta make sure that he watches it.
All right, Dan, I'm going to distract you from all your busy work.
When I flew with you to Vegas last time,
This
is what I'm going to say to Ray. Like, you were the one instigating. I was perfectly fine to chill at the gate, and Dan's like, oh, let's go get some drinks. And I already had a couple, so all right, whatever. And then on the plane, you're going to get more drinks. Okay.
Go get it, baby.
You're the one that opened the bottle of Jack in the limo, too.
Oh, hell yeah.
I got work to do.
We're watching Fast and Furious, Dan. It's happening.
I don't have friends. I got family.
Coming to you live from Galaxy Ballroom at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. It's Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, and Layla Raheem on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let the record show that I'm proud to have avoided watching a Fast and Furious movie. I mean, I saw him trying, but that wasn't going to happen. But we are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, which happen to be here in the Galaxy Ballroom at the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, as their version of their Radio Row is getting everyone ready for Circa Million and Circa Survivor. Bernstein, Holmes, Rahimi, Diaz, Studzinski, Fryer, O'Donnell, Lapka, Mitch Rosen is here, and we have the great Ray Regal as our engineer. Everybody
Bagel
all right?
Has a gallon big gulp.
That's Jerry. It's got a name.
It has a name, and I didn't know.
I think it's more than a gallon.
Can I show this to our Twitch listeners? It is more than a
That's Jerry.
And it says Big Jerry right here.
It's 128 ounces.
This is bigger than my head.
$1.07 to refill at 7-Eleven.
$1.07?
They charge you the extra 7?
That's with taxes.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Like a dollar.
Hi, Jerry. Hi,
okay,
Ray.
Yeah, now you've met Jerry.
And hydrate.
Oh-ho!
No, that actually should happen.
What, actual hydrating?
Yes.
Yeah, it's probably pretty good.
That's what I spent the morning doing.
You went outside?
No, hydrating.
Okay, but are you planning on going outside?
Yeah, I'm going to go to Stadium Swim.
Okay, it's like 100 degrees.
Yeah, I'm built for this.
All right.
This is my time.
She grew up in this.
I'm the captain now.
Well, we are going to bring you all kinds of football talk. The Bears play a simulacrum of a football game tonight. There will be people in Bears uniforms who have another few hours to be Chicago Bears before they get on with their lives. And we'll discuss, because there's some roster decisions to be made. Derek Stevens, Paul Charchin, Sean King, High Noon. We've got it all for you here.
I'm looking forward to tonight for sure. But Layla and I on the ride in, because we took the same flight, Dan and Ray took the same flight. We were talking football because, you know, we talk football. And you brought up a really interesting point about kind of where things stand with the Bears roster.
Yeah, to me, is your team as good as you think it is if you still need the waiver wire to add perhaps to your defensive line? Like, the team is not on the field. I'm glad that you're admitting it in a way. But is your team as good as you think it is, if that is the case, and the waiver wire is still something that you need to look at?
If you're adding a rotational, at the least, a rotational pass rusher, and probably somebody by the end of the season who will have been a starter, because that happens with attrition.
Right. And
that person's not on your team yet.
And we know that perhaps the ideal three technique is not on this team, as we've discussed. That is a wait and see. But to me, that says a lot about where they are and what we think they are. And I want to have all the good vibes and the lovely feelings. And this is a game that's really about seeing who's going to make that roster tonight in the preseason finale. But at the end of the day, before the season opener, if that's still something that is not only discussed but strategically applied, then you have to at least ask the question. Like the Lions, for example, are saying, you know, Pro Football Talk had the story yesterday. Like, people are not going to make the roster, and they're going to have to make some really tough decisions. And that's the difference now. You're talking about good to great. We get to have that discussion, which is great, but does it temper our expectation?
And let's go back to what the Bears have said about their roster. What they said was it's going to be really hard to make this team.
How much do you believe it?
Well, I think that they've made incredible progress. I really do. I think this roster is solid, but considering we can talk to Matt Eberflus about this tomorrow, but I feel like from a defensive standpoint, he still doesn't quite have what he needs. He's making the most out of it, and he's done a good job with it, and we know how strong the Bears' defensive backfield is. But how much stronger would it be if you gave them a representative front line? And to Ryan Poles' credit, he's been trying to do that. Like, them trying to make the move for Judon, it says two things to me. One, their roster is incomplete. And two, they understand the value and if we use the Raheemy doctrine, look at the contracts, look at where you're at in your window. If you're trying to maximize Montez Sweat, give him a partner, whether that partner is on the inside at the three technique or on the other end, give him a partner so you can do maximum damage.
The very first move, or one of the very first moves he made, was to sign Larry Ogunjobi, who was a Matt Eberflus prototype three technique.
Yep.
And ever since that failed effort to bring in an established professional three technique, they've just kind of streamed the position along. And I know they had super defensive, no pun intended, when Justin Jones was questioned. I think it was actually Alan Williams before they had to fire him for being weird. That he said, oh, we have a three technique, and his name is Justin Jones. Okay, fine, great, awesome. But we know that there's a difference between the defense being fine. And, like, as you've said before many times, if this is an elite backfield, then make their job even easier. Make them even better. So maybe they just are way more confident in some of these guys than we know that they are, or that they're letting on that they are. But their moves tell us they're not.
Well, the other thing to me is we're not just talking about the expectation of a team. I've said it. I'll say it again. I think it's a 10-win team. I think they make the playoffs probably. I think the whole division has leveled up. I'll say it. Okay, if I'm wrong, I'm not going to be happy about it either, but we'll have a lot of other issues if that's the case. But people are talking about this being a top 5, top 10 defense.
Yeah,
those words
it.
Have been uttered by many people.
I said it. I said they're a top 5 defense.
So if that's the case, you still think you're doing this at this point in the season? I'm not mad at them for doing it. Good that you're doing it. But does that reset what you're thinking?
Conditionally, I keep getting this impression, and maybe it's sinking in because we're in Vegas, and we feel it all the time, and we always talk about it. Hell, you hear it in the airport, you feel it everywhere, but the level of optimism for this Bears team. This city, places like this, are trying to separate Bears fans from their money.
For sure.
And are trying to game that level of excitement and that level of optimism. Because Chicago betters, as I understand it, I don't know as much as others do. Look, there's probably 20 people in this room, obviously, that know far more than I. But Chicago fans are suckers. And I wonder, with given the slightest real reason for optimism, if we shouldn't be conscious of that, especially being where we are and being as aware of
the house always winning.
Of the house always winning, and the house understand the people that set the lines, the people that try to lure you in are taking advantage of one of the most easily, irrationally exuberant fan bases that we know of.
I won't call our listeners suckers. I'll say they are
no, they know
optimistic. And when you look at how people bet at the beginning of the baseball season on the Cubs every year. How much the handle is on Bears fans every year when the number comes out on win totals and how they go over because they're optimistic. You do have to control for some of that when you're discussing how this team is going to go about building itself. And, you know, some history is prologue. Some of it's not. The hope is that the Bears are changing everything, like the way that they go about stuff, and then that turns into success for them where they haven't had it before. But yes, it and this goes to what we were talking about with you, Dan, earlier this week. It's a weird place to be in where you go, wow, everyone seems to be very optimistic about what the Bears can do this year, and does that hit that reflex of that's very scary?
Well, it was scary for me because I went through what happened in that first game against the Packers when Khalil Mack has a career in the first half and everything is great in our world and it's seashells and balloons and we're doing cartwheels and handsprings and then nothing good happens.
To me, Chicago is a market mover, period. There's an emotional buy there that you're talking about. And the Bulls, we saw that too with the Bulls in 2021 when they were close to having better odds for first place in the Eastern Conference. Wow, what a stretch that sounds like when you say it a couple years later. But that to me is fine. Like, have your emotional buy. You know, if you know how the market moves here when it comes to wagering, then you'll be at an advantage as far as knowing how to hedge it. But people have been excited to talk about the Bears for a long time. And we're seeing that finally happen now. So to me, do you need more out-of-town stupid in a way by tempering the expectation? Or do you need a little more in-town optimism by trying to make something happen in a productive manner?
I think that you can always use a little bit of it. The problem is, and I mean, you know, we're aware of it. Like, I know that sometimes when this particular show tries to temper stuff that we get labeled.
Why
with.
Do you hate the Bears?
Right.
What's wrong with you? Why do you hate them?
Just have faith in everything.
Yeah, and that's part of the issue, you know. And I know that we're speaking from a very personal place when trying to discuss it as logically, but with a little bit of fun.
Like, I want them to be as good as anybody does. I do. I really keep saying it. I really hope Caleb Williams is good, and I hope the Bears are good. I don't know if they are, and because it's the NFL.
I think it's important to give this PSA routinely. People in our position would prefer that the teams that we talk about be good.
Amen.
We prefer that, and the reason that we prefer that is that there's more of you when the teams are good. That harping on things that are bad, wanting things to be bad because it gets clicks, that only works so far. And the example that I would give you, and it's an extreme one, is the 2024 Chicago White Sox.
Yep.
No one wants to talk about the White Sox because we know that if we start talking about the White Sox instead of talking about the Bears, you're going to go away. And you might never come back.
And our numbers showed previously that when we talked about the White Sox when they were good, that people wanted to listen.
Yes. So we want the teams to be good, but we also want to try and give you from our experiences of covering teams on what are some things that don't feel right or smell right. And that's why, like, the counterbalance to us even talking about Hard Knocks, because that is them giving the best version of what's going on at Hallis Hall.
Let alone critiquing it as a television show. What do you mean it's a bad show? It's the Bears.
Well, yeah, what do we know about doing
boring.
That, right? Nothing.
Right.
Yeah, we don't know anything about it. In case you're wondering why we're here, by the way, we're here for the return, if you're joining us, for the Circa Million 6 and Circa Survivor, which won Danny Parkins, who finally announced that he is indeed going to Outdoor Life Network. today.
It's Versus.
No, Spike TV. We're very happy for Danny going to Spike TV.
It's Outdoor Life Network, and he's got a trout fishing show, I believe.
He's going to be great at the Nashville Network, but the point is...
Danny is going to be awesome on Impractical Jokers.
That's still a show.
He's going to be so awesome on that. True TV made a great hire when they hired Danny Parkins.
You know, when I'm watching March Madness, I want to know what's coming on after my 11-5 game. Okay, but he did also make it far in the survivor pool, right? Like, didn't he nearly win?
He did really well.
Yeah, as a consortium. And we'll talk to Derek about this, but the way
At 11, Derek Stevens joins us.
The way people game that thing.
Because Danny's got guys. Like,
he's also a guy you can call.
I agree, but he's even got guys.
Right. It's
when I'm looking for somebody on the DIY network, that's our man.
I'm really looking forward to his show on HGTV. The fact that he is moving so that he is going to be out here renovating homes.
Love it or list it. Which,
I mean, I can't believe that they got him and Snoop to Danny and Snoop on HGTV every morning. Like, they're going out and they're renovating houses. So
we got this lot. Don't know if it's going to make sense for the buyer.
I don't think some of the piping is to code. We're going to have to redo it.
Zero lot line. Have to landscape.
Let's see if we can.
That's a load. You can't move the load bearing wall.
They want 2.5% now.
Contractors got over budget.
Seller's agent's a jerk.
Everybody wants to know via text, guys. You guys are burying the lead. How many sports animals are there?
Well, we've come across a sports amphibian. I'm pretty sure there was some sort of sports reptile over here.
It's too early.
Bronco Nation News.
I'm just happy that we got to see our friend Cody Decker.
Yeah, Cody Decker's just out here hanging out in the. Well, it's a hallway. It's not a street.
Well, we're in a ballroom.
It's Radio Row. This is the Radio Row setup.
It's Radio Row. And so, like, right across from us is ESPN Las Vegas.
There's a sports chameleon.
There's a Bronco Nation Let's Ride network over there.
Bronco Nation News. Like, they're leaning into the news
Bronco
portion
Nation
of that.
News.
Yeah, BNN. Have you heard?
Dick Parkins.
Okay, but what is that? What does that even mean?
Let's Ride. That's what it means.
Bronco
well, not anymore.
News.
Do we ask him about Zach Wilson? How does this work?
Or do they actually report all of the news, but only as it relates to the Broncos?
I mean, it's just like when Hub had Pro Football Weekly.
There was a large explosion.
On the air.
Ray, you don't remember that? Yeah. Pro Football Weekly also used to be Basketball News.
Say yes to the dress. It's our favorite texter. It's our favorite texter.
I just like the idea that Bronco Nation News would be something like, Ukrainian forces were able to enter the occupied Kursk territories. No Denver Broncos were affected. In other news, new Chinese tariffs have been enacted. No Broncos were immediately affected. This has been Bronco News. Okay, whatever. People want to know, why aren't you at the pool?
It's only tomorrow. News about Bronco
tomorrow
Nagurski.
Tomorrow is the pool.
Right, Bronco Nagurski is still dead. And now the weather.
Wait.
What about the Barrington Broncos? Are they involved in this?
Could be. It's all the Bronco news. That's fit to
that
print
seems
about
like
Broncos.
A really big nation of Broncos.
I guess.
Wild, wild horses.
Who is the coach whose name was Bronco?
A coach?
Bronco Mendenhall.
Thank you.
Who's
that? Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
For who?
BYU, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, he wasn't a coach, though. Bronco Nagurski, I don't think. Maybe he coached something. I'm not sure.
I'm sorry. It's a Vegas show, guys. What can you do?
All right, when we come back.
Vegas show.
Vegas show. Vegas show.
Yeah, Bronco Mendenhall.
There you
Bronco
go.
Mendenhall.
Right. Let's discuss Matt Eberflus watching film and how it relates to choreography and teaching dance.
And if you've been watching Hard Knocks, I think it all goes together in a way that's going to make you at least appreciate the show a little bit more, too. On The Score from Vegas.